started at 10. According to my watch here, we are 2 minutes after 10 o'clock. We have a meeting expected to deal with a matter that we discussed in November of last year. A year later, we are expected to pursue the very same issues that we raised, wherein an integrated plan in terms of debt recovery was to be brought to Parliament. We had put together both the Department of Water and Sanitation, National Treasury, COCTA, and SALGA. The aim was to deal with the debt municipalities are owing both the water boards and also the Department of Water and Sanitation. We are confining ourselves to that. Yes, municipalities also do owe other entities within government or government agencies. But as I said, we are confining ourselves only to water and sanitation. In the main, to water. We do have we have extended an invitation to both COCTA committee, appropriations committee in the context of National Treasury or finance, and also having extended an invitation to So those are two committees that we've extended invitation to. I'm happy that the Appropriations Committee is here together. And we did receive an apology from COCTA, as they are busy with a piece of legislation. We also have extended an invitation also to National Treasury in the Appropriation Division, and also COCTA and SALGA as well. Perhaps it would also be important just to get a sense as to who from COCTA is here from the department, just by raising of hands. Okay. Is that COCTA? So you only have two people from COCTA, one. And from National Treasury? And SALGA? Okay, thanks for that. I see the department has since extended an invitation to its water entities. The main, your water boards. If you can get a sense as to which water boards are here. Which water boards are here? You can just speak to the mic.
Rainwater.
Rainwater is here.
Mhlathuzo Water.
Mhlathuzo is here.
Lebele Northern Water.
Lebele.
Matola Water.
Matola.
Sidibeng Water.
Sorry?
Mahalis Water.
I didn't hear that. Sidibeng, did you say?
Yes, Sidibeng Water.
Okay. Where is that?
Mahalis Water.
Okay, Sidibeng. Mahalis.
Bloom Water.
Bloom Water is here.
Umgeni Water.
Umgeni is here. those are invitations as per the department of water and sanitation is concerned. Now, we we have those items on the agenda. They have been stipulated in those four bullet points on our program. Welcome, Minister. Welcome, other members of Parliament. Okay, we have also been joined by the Chair of Appropriation, as a co-chair. We did indicate earlier that the appropriation is here, Water and Sanitation Department Committee is here. And I can see the appropriation committee has come in full numbers. We do have a few apologies, members, before we start our meeting. This one apology comes from the Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation, who has been booked off on sick leave. Minister of COCTA, and the Deputy Ministers, Minister of COCTA, Dr. Mkize, Deputy Ministers, Mr. Bapela and Mr. Nell are not able to make it through due to functions in Gauteng province. And also Mr. Gallo, who is a member of Water and Sanitation Committee, cannot make it through to this meeting. Members, the issues are very simple and straightforward. And again, the aim is to see as to how best we can get municipalities paying for a service that is being rendered to by either the Water Board and or the department directly. Without waste of time, let us allow, I see in the program here, it talks about Water and Sanitation Department, Cooperative Governance, Traditional Leaders, and National Treasury, and also SALGA. The implication of that is that all of these shall then have to present. I have thought we would have only one, submission from, as I mentioned earlier on, here expected was to be one integrated plan that pulls everyone together. The problem is one. There are a number of players. Those then should be consolidated into that one specific plan. Okay, thanks for that and also for the attention. Without waste of time, we shall then have to allow the Minister of Water and Sanitation, Mr. Mkwinti, leading the department, to assist us going forward. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Thank you, Chair. Chair, you would observe in the report that there's no reference to our department in terms of the interministerial task team. We are members of that, interministerial task team. What we then did, we requested that not only electricity reticulation and distribution should be the main items of that, but this payment of water, payment by municipalities to water boards, that's one. Two, we also requested that payments by departments, both national and provincial, payments of debts to municipalities, because there are departments, both national and provincial, who owe municipalities money. So we added those two. So this interministerial task team is dealing with all of them now. So Minister Mkhize still chairs that, and we're working very closely together on that. We have extended that working together to provinces as well. I must appreciate what Mpumalanga have done. Mpumalanga have added human settlements to the team at the provincial level. We were looking at this working, this collective approach together on Friday in Mpumalanga. And I was very happy that not just COCTA, but human settlements has been added to that, the MEC for human settlements there. So I'm hoping that as a result of this collective effort, beginning to happen in Northwest as well as even with Mfuleni, this is how we're dealing with, trying to deal with the challenge at Mfuleni. So Chair, I thought I should indicate here, so that when we deal with this matter, we incorporate those additional points. Thank you very much. Department will make the presentation, Chair.
Good morning. My name is Paul Noel. I'm with the Department of Water and Sanitation, but this is a joint presentation of the IMTT, so it includes the National Treasury, COCTA, as well as SALGA. We've also got two of the water boards that are also represented on the IMTT, being Rand Water and Sedibeng Water, with their biggest debt, so they also attend all the IMTT meetings. So this is a joint presentation of all IMTT members. Just some background, the Minister has already said at this committee meeting last year, November last year.
IMTT?
Interministerial Task Team. At this meeting last year, we were told that there was already an interministerial task team on electricity, looking specifically at the Eskom debt. And it was decided at that meeting that we would be part of that meeting. So since November last year, our ministers, included with the other ministers of finance, energy, public enterprises, and COCTA. So there's now five ministers sitting on the IMTT. I'd like to give an update on the debt. This is the total municipal debt, which is the water boards, all the water boards individually, as well as the water trading entity. In total, the current status is we are owed 13 billion rand, 13.1 billion rand. Of that 13.1 billion rand, 9.2 billion is over 120 days, which is old outstanding debt. Unfortunately, this has deteriorated from last year. In the year that we've been part of the IMTT, it's gone up by 1.7 billion. That's the total debt by municipalities to the water boards and the water trading entity. The non-payment of this debt is having serious problems, especially for the water boards. We've already had two of our water boards, Botella Water and Bushbuck Ridge Water Board, being disestablished because of non-payment by municipalities. That work has been taken over by two of the existing water boards, but we still have water boards that have a serious going concern threat if we don't collect the debt from municipalities. If we just look at the water boards alone, they owed 8.6 billion rand, they owed. And in turn, then, they owe the department 4.5 billion. So it's a chain of events. So if they don't get paid, then they can't pay us. It means we can't service our normal infrastructure. We can't do our normal work that we're supposed to do. At the moment, Bloem Water, Lephela Water, Northern Water, and Sedibeng Water, those are the three with very high debts. And they're really having serious concerns with their cash flow. Their ability to continue with their work is being negatively affected. The other very important issue is the water trading entity have to pay the Trans-Cullinan and Tunnel Authority, who go out and borrow money from the banks. They lend the money, which we then pay back. The part of the tariff is the capital portion, which is paid back to the commercial banks. The water trading entity has to pay back the TCDA on a monthly basis, irrespective of what is recovered. Currently, we're only recovering 90% of the sales because the non-payment by municipalities. So that's leaving us a deficit on an annual basis of 10% of what we bill. We still have to pay TCA whether or not we collect that money. I've got a list of the largest municipalities that owe the water boards. Sedibeng Water is by far the biggest, with Matabeng that owe them 2.4 billion, just the one water board, the one municipality alone. But you'll see there, Sedibeng Water, Bloem Water, Rand Water, Lepele, these are the biggest ones, with Sedibeng Water being the major water board that is owed money. I've got a list of the big municipalities owing the water trading entity. This is the one at the list you'll see there of the 4.5 that is owed to WTE. 4.1 billion is over 120 days. So the majority is old debt that's not being paid. And as I said, it's increased in total by 1.7 billion over the year. The next slide comes with a story. Some of you may recall that in December last year, we sent out letters to municipalities telling them that we're going to restrict their water. These were the top municipalities that the letters went out to. There was lots of talks and meetings held in December, and some of them made payments then at that stage. But this is the status of the payment since then. So you'll see the big ones, like Wembe is the biggest one. They paid us a whopping 40 million in December, and since then they've paid us nothing. So this is to show that they're not even paying the current. That is our, when we talk to them, when we negotiate, we say at least pay the current. We know the old debt is a problem. We'll work out how you're going to repay the old debt, but at least keep up with your current payments. And there, as you can see from the top ones, they're not paying the current. We're just getting no payments from the majority of them. This, just the long term, we're talking about the IMTT. It was established for the electricity, but then we included the water. The IMTT started by, well, they appointed an advisory panel to look specifically at the municipalities, to go out to municipalities to see what the problem was, to come up with recommendations on how to move forward. Their draft report has been issued. The final will be tabled in Parliament, I'm told, the 27th of this month. So we've only got a draft at this stage. But looking at the draft, it doesn't address water the way we would like to. They concentrated on electricity, and water wasn't really addressed at all. So what the IMTT was recommending is that we have a separate advisory panel to look at water, because the existing one hasn't helped the water. At this stage, we're busy working out the terms of reference for the new panel. Then we'll look at how we're going to appoint the new panel, if it'll be an extension of the old panel's scope of work, or if we're going to do it some different way. But that we're busy with that at the moment, looking at the terms of reference. The next one is just the steps that the departments are taking. This is the action that the department itself is taking to try and collect the steps. According to the PFMA, we've got to take steps to collect all monies due to the department. We start off with sending out normal letters and phone calls and asking and sending out statements. But handing over to legal, unfortunately, this has been the only steps that we've taken that have worked so far. We've issued our 63 summonses. We've already had 7 court judgments. When the judgment comes, then the municipalities all come to the party, then we get to talk. But unfortunately, this is the only time that they really come to the table, when there's a court judgment against them. There's another, we're awaiting another 8 judgments, which we believe are not too far in the future. It'll make 15 then that we've got court judgments, and then that money should be coming in then. But of all the municipalities, there's 135 that we haven't handed over, because they are paying sporadically. So we're not saying if you're behind, we're going to take you over. As long as you're trying, if you're making an effort. So 135 are making an effort, but of all the municipalities, only 47 are paying their accounts on a monthly basis. These are just other steps. And we're being part of the IMTT on the electricity and water. We've attended all the meetings. We've been active participants in that. Unfortunately, the debt has increased, as that slide indicates. The other steps that we can go back to the water restrictions. It worked a bit in December, but it didn't work a lot. But maybe that's something we'll have to look at ongoingly, to restrict the water, not stop the water, but restrict it to see if we can get them to pay. Then withholding the equitable share, that's something we've looked at in the past. National Treasury are of the opinion that we're not solving the problem by doing this, that we need a long-term solution. So if we do this, they do need 30 days notice. They're willing to do it, but they're not recommending that we do it because it's not a long-term solution. And then the last thing we can do is we can look at revoking the water use license of the defaulting municipalities and giving that to somebody else. So taking that would be the last step. Thank you.
Any further comments? Any specific details, either from COCTA or from National Treasury or from SALGA, just as part of concluding on the submission? No further comments? SALGA?
Some of the slides that were presented... Sorry, Chindela Hop, SALGA. I'm querying some of the slides that were presented at the end as they were not part of the joint submission. Those are Department of Water slides. And this is supposed to be a joint submission from all of us.
Any further comments? Point is noted. No further comments? Thank you for that. That was a very prompt, straight to the point. This is what we were actually expecting. There's a problem. What are the solutions? Problem statement has been made. You would obviously ask a few questions. If you are to listen to what the submission tells you, of the 2 billion rand plus Machabeng owing to the department or water boards, you ask yourself a question as to what really could be the content of such a debt. It's such a huge debt. Are they one of those, I missed on that slide, are they one of those that are continuously paying? That would be the kind of question that one would make. And again, related to such, with all the summons that are being pursued in retrieving monies owing to the department, what could be the kinds of legal costs? We always ask this question. The department did ask at some point, specifically talking about the Department of Water and Sanitation, that the total sum that you talk about for such legal costs, of course, in addition to a number of others, would be anything to go by in the region of 100 million rand plus. That's what you were telling us the other day. An issue again about the equitable share is being raised. This is one of the issues that members have been raising quite consistently. And the implications of that equitable share being withheld versus service delivery. Members, that is the submission. Any comments, questions? Noted. We are going to assist here with the co-chair, Mrs. Posa, as we proceed going forward. Mrs. Kaula, your name, your hand is noted. Mr. Basson, your hand is noted. Dr. Kabini, Mr. Kwabaza, Mr. Mguni, in that order for now. Mama Nana, thanks. Mom Kaula, your hand was noted first.
Gibonga Sihlalo. Mina zothi nje okuncane Ngibonga nama presentation nababonga abakhona la. Sihlalo nami nangine kunombuzo osalokhu kugidagida enhlizweni nami nasengqondweni. Kune summit. Excuse me, yayilapha eGoli le ndawo lena ngisazi babiza ngani. Le summit yayi last year. Emva kokuthi kade sinenkinga yalabo masipala okwakukhalwa ngokuthi bafeyilile ukukhokha noma bayahluleka ukukhokha. Lapho uminister, not uminister lo okhona, lo ongaphambili. Esathi sinalo mhlangano lapho eGoli sinthini. Wavelwa waqhamuka sezothi useyaxolisa useyaphuthuma. Sekunomasipala abasemnyango abamfunayo abafuna ukukhokha imali. Umbuzo wami uthi mhlambe mangaqamba manga sokaningi ibuza lento. Okwami ngifuna ukwazi ngabe imuphi baphi labo masipala ababezokhokha? Ngabe bakhokha malini? Ngabe bayikhokha kanjani? Ngoba emva kwalokho uminister phela zange vele sekushintshwe. Kodwa ekugcineni sagcina singazi ngoba kwakufanele sisazobe sasitshele ukuthi omasipala abangakhokhile sibazi ukuthi baphi. Enye into la engifuna ukuthi ngiyisho futhi lana esihlalo sami. Lo mbuzo angiwuqondisi kuminister lo khona manje. Ngikubuzisa ukuthi ngoba bakhona laba babesebenza nawo minister. Angicabangi ukuthi babengavele nje bakhokhelane njengoba bade sibolekene imali bengazi ungekho into ebhale phansi. Uma bethi abazi kulungile ngizokhululeka. Bese ngiza kulana kula okutholakala khona ukuthi omasipala khona abakweleta kakhulu. Lento lena konke lokho kusinikeza inkinga ngoba izimali ziyaya la komaphansi la ku-NCOP to ma-province. Ngabe niyakulandela na noma ukuthi eke bezochaza labantu ungcono ke kuboshwa abantu ngoba bayanikwa imali. Ngoba sidinga manje sizoyenza le ndlela nje ngiyajabula njengoba yonke le minyanga ikhona. Sizokwenza futhi la kwakhiwa iqhinga. Still benze very same thing. Bathathe le mali ofanele iye lapha bayidivete lo mali iye kwezinye indawo. Abantu bagcine besale besafarish. Kuyimanje ngiyajabula ngibona uTelkom lana. Because uEskom. Because kuyimanje kunendawo la uthola ukuthi abantu abanamanzi kukhala ngokuthi injini noma u-Eskom akakwafuna kabe khona akwazi ukushintsha indlela mhlawumbe amanzi bedonsa aqhamuka ngenhla yengezansi. Kodwa still konke lawo maplani ezizowenza la. If singakwazi ukubamba labantu abagangile sizoba nenkinga. Ngiyabonga.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, there's one question that has been worrying me for such a long time. If I'm not mistaken, last year or year before last, we attended a summit in Sandton on the issues of the municipalities that are owing. Now, Chairperson, in that meeting, the previous Minister of Water and Sanitation was present. She indicated that she wants to leave immediately because there were people who said they wanted to make payments. Now, what I want to know is, which are those municipalities? How much did they pay? To whom did they pay? Now, I am not referring to the current minister by asking these questions. My other worry or my other question is on the issues of those municipalities who are owing large amounts of monies. Now, because monies do go to provinces, what I would like to know is, do you make follow-ups? Because these monies are being diverted to other places. And do you arrest the people who are squandering these monies? That is my main worry. Thank you very much.
Mr. Basson.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, as you've mentioned,
when we started. This is now a year later. And what do we see? 1.7 billion increase in debt. Chair, we've discussed this last year. We've discussed this over the last few years, how to deal with water. And it just seems that COCTA is not coming to the party. They are really not worried about the functioning of the municipalities, the accountability of their municipalities. And that filters through to provincial government, where they just don't care. Now, Chair, we discussed previously, and I want to put this on the table again, cutting of water is not the solution. What will happen? You cut the water or you cut the usage of water in the area. What happens? Areas don't get water, so what happens now? People are complaining we've got no water, and then tankers, at a cost for the municipality, they drive in water for free for the same community that you've cut the water, which don't get water. And in some cases, it's 9 out of 10 times the people that lies high up in the area, they never see water because the people lower would use the water that you have allocated to that municipality. Secondly, it creates pipe bursts, so it's further cost to the municipality. And if we can't get it that COCTA deals with municipalities that don't pay, this exercise we'll have a year from now again. We're not going to resolve our problems by cutting the water. Because there is no accountability. There is no accountability for municipalities not paying their debt. I explained to Salga what happens in a specific municipality that is the worst run municipality in this country, Maribeng. They pay their salaries and they pay Eskom. Why do they pay Eskom? Because the industrialists told them if we get electricity cuts, we'll close down our factories, and then there will be thousands of jobs that will there are people that will lose their jobs. So what does the municipality do? They take the water, the money that they receive from water, and they use that money also to pay those who are pushing the hardest. Because now the community is pushing from one side and Eskom is pushing from the other side. And then they pay those who is pushing the hardest. Now, Chairperson, if we can't get this right, and how many times we've requested, let's make sure that water is ring-fenced. I'm telling you, most of the municipalities in this country is not making 0.5 cents on water. They don't make money on water because, one, the quality of the water they need to clean is bad. It's costing them more money on chemicals to clean the water, to backwash that water, putting it back into the river, which they already need to pay you. They lose up to 40-50% of their water in the reticulation within that municipality. And eventually, when they do the calculation, they don't make 1 cent of the water they need to pay for. So there's no incoming water. It's just the expenditure. You will get in most municipalities, there is 10 to 20 tankers running around at the cost of 1.4, 1.5 million rand per month to distribute water to communities free. Someone's got to pay for that water. And if we can't fix this thing from day one, where we keep them accountable, make sure they ring-fence the expenditure, they ring-fence, so that we can see whether there's really a problem within a specific municipality, where are they really making money out of water? Is it still viable for municipalities to sell water? It's becoming a burden on the municipalities. So isn't it eventually cheaper for water boards to come in and to sell the water directly to the community and bill them directly? And make sure that the infrastructure is correct, because if it's 12 months later and it's 1.5 billion,
It's nearly the same. Next year, this time, it will be exactly the same amount of money that is budgeted for Department of Water and Sanitation. That's how much money we are losing. And really, I'm so disappointed with COCTA not being here. This is a critical situation that the department finds itself in. We've just heard. We need to pay, whether we receive money or not, we need to honor TCTA's accounts. Now, how do we do that? Go for another overdraft? Borrowing money? Using money for infrastructure to pay our debts to TCTA? That's what's happening, Chair. And that's because we've got one department called COCTA not taking this serious, not assisting the municipalities, not looking at the cause of the problems. Really, I believe there's a lot of municipalities that they really want to pay, but they just don't have the money to pay. Why? You go and look at the quality water they need to clean. They need to sell. They don't have money. They don't make money to do maintenance on their infrastructure. We've heard that in the last 3 years, more than 10 billion rand was returned to National Treasury. Not one cent was used to assist the municipalities to pay their debt to this department, Water and Sanitation. It's unacceptable. We must get another way, and Chair, there's nothing we can do on the ground. You want to take water away, there is a constitutional right to restrict. You tell me where you've restricted water and where you got more money. It doesn't happen. It will never happen. Because I use the money that I get this month to make a payment to you. And if I don't sell water, I can't pay you. It's a wrong way of doing. So, Chair, really, there need to be a minister. There needs to be another way dealing with COCTA concerning this matter. This is running spiral out of control at the moment, and it's just putting your department under huge pressure. They're not taking up that pressure, they're not dealing with that issue, and I think it's time now that we must act on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that. Dr. Kabini?
No, thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the report. Well, Chair, there are a few clarity-seeking questions of which I wanted to be clarified on. The one clarity-seeking question is about IMTT. Because in the report it is stipulated very clear that they were concentrating on electricity. It's then that they started to consider the issue of water and sanitation. So my question is being, they only come out as a corrective measures when there is problem. They didn't see or they didn't anticipate a problem in terms of water supply in municipalities. That is one clarity seeking question. The other clarity seeking question is with regards to the municipalities that are owing water ports. In as far as I understand, or my knowledge, municipalities are being given the MIG grant. So can I just get the clarity as to how this MIG fund is being used by municipalities so that the issue of water, because I understand that most of the project in terms of the MIG are mostly water. So why it is not used to pay back the debt
of which the municipalities are owing here. The other challenge maybe is in terms of capacity. Are they able to deliver the municipalities in terms of water supply to our communities? If not, what measures have they take, especially when Zagra is here? He must be able to clarify for us as to what programs are they having in order to make sure that they eradicate this problem of non-payment. The last one, Chair, is in terms of operation, whether municipalities are capable of operating water or the water should be taken out of them. Because this is what I wanted to check. Because if we take water out of them, are they going to be no problem in municipalities if we take it as the department? But if we don't, are they having capacity to deliver on water? Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mr. Mnguni, followed by Mr. Gwabaza, and lastly by Mrs. Manan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, Chairperson, ladies and gentlemen, and the Minister. I said morning. Let me repeat, morning. I like people to respond. Maybe it's your only chance to speak by saying morning. It's almost a year. You know, we indicated earlier on that we have this systematic challenge. You know, municipalities, when you go to them, they will complain. The users there do not pay. And then municipalities won't have money to pay the water boards. Water boards that do not have money to pay the WTE, and WTE does not have money to pay TCTA. You see, systematic. But where does this problem lie? Because part of the problem might be lying somewhere. That's where we should be looking. Where does it lie? Is it innovations? Is it because we cannot be flexible? Is it our policies that do not talk to these issues of people paying? We should be looking somewhere. Really, there's a problem somewhere. Is it because of our leniency? Those who are supposed to do the collection. You know, you are lenient once, twice the person knows that this one has been lenient. He won't take the actions again next time. Well, where does the problem lie? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. Looking at the child, Chairperson, when the child minister steals, young child steals from, steals sugar, look at you, put sugar in the mouth, looks at you again. If you do nothing, then it will be habitual. But if the child, you have got some measures, the child won't do that again. We spoke to, I don't even see treasury here. We spoke to treasury last year. We called treasury to ask ways and methods of ensuring that municipalities pay. One of the proposal that was made by the committee was that, hey, can't you, because there is a grant that you give to municipalities, can't you, after the department has proved that it has spoken to the municipalities and there's been agreement and agreements were not met, can't you take a certain percentage that you take as a grant and reserve it for the payment to the department? Because the department still needs money to pay its own debt. What happened to that proposal? We did not say take it, but they will refine. They will refine it to meet the standard of payment. What happened to that proposal? Also, there's this section 5B, is it schedule 5B or section 5B, which deals with the, you know, the grants that are given to municipalities. Most of some of them for water, they go via the Department of Water and Sanitation. You give it to the Department of Water and Sanitation with no plan whatsoever, no planning. There's no plan that is given by the municipalities to the department. How are they going to use their own, that grant? And the department literally transfer that particular money to the municipality for water. And the department is armstrong. It does not have way of checking and monitoring how the money it has transferred from treasury to municipality is used. Is it used specifically for the purpose it is meant for? Is it used for that purpose? If it's not, what is the department supposed to be doing? If that's the case, I think we should have a way. It's either they do the same way of doing, of transferring the money to the department, and the municipality gives the plan to the department and there's monitoring and evaluation. Or the treasury directs the money direct to the municipalities themselves, not via the department, because it's easy with the treasury. Treasury will need a plan. Before we give you money, give us your plan, what you want to do. And then they do the monitoring and evaluation themselves. Even that transfer to the department is even crippling the department in one way or the other, because when municipalities fail to perform, this thing comes to the department to indicate that the department did not use its monies fruitfully. It's a challenge. Now the department is cornered in one way or the other. Let's get a way. There's a problem in here. A very challenge, Chairperson Possum. There's a very big problem in the issue of the debt. I just wonder, when people go out and say we are hiking tariffs, and the municipality is also part of saying I'm hiking tariffs. What tariffs? If you're saying I'm hiking water tariffs, because you're not even paying that particular water that you're supposed to pay with the tariffs, it becomes a challenge. I think we should come up with a way where we meet COCTA, we meet Treasury, and they come up with a method of assisting the department and the other sectors or under and the sectors underneath to help with the challenges. Because in most of the time, and with the report that we have been given, you could see that there are these municipalities that do not want even to move an inch in terms of payment. There are agreements, but they don't move an inch. They don't want to pay until there's a court judgment. As the speaker has said, until there's a court judgment. Before the court judgment, you still have money. You still need money to ask that court judgment. You see, it becomes a problem. And whether the money that you will pay will also involve this court judgment amount that you have used, it's another question that we must be asking. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. But I think there should be a way where we meet, is because it might happen that it's a political will or there's something wrong somewhere. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Mr. Clark.
Yeah, thank you, Chairpersons. Chair, it's not clear when you say that the equitable share is likely to be withheld as part of addressing the problem. It's not clear whether you are saying 100% of the equitable share is going to be withheld or part thereof. And if it is withheld, how does that assist unless you withhold part of it so that you can pay directly to the creditors? Mm-hmm. So if you could clarify that. National Treasury talks about the root causes. If those could be specified so that we know what we are talking about, because it implies it's not a single problem. The very easy one is municipalities' inability to collect revenue, but what are other root causes that needs to be addressed? Is the IMTT aware of these root causes, and how is it addressing those root causes, and at what cost? So what's the plan and the budget? Because it's not enough to simply say root causes must be addressed and we are not fully made aware thereof and the processes around resolving those root causes. IMTT and National Treasury, make the provincial departments and national departments pay first. It's not fair to say municipalities must pay and national departments and provincial departments are not paying. Let them pay so that municipalities can have resources to pay themselves, ESCOM and the water boards. This excuse we hear that the national and provincial departments are not going to pay because they are, one of the reasons is that they don't know who owns the buildings in which they use these water and electricity services. Cannot be acceptable. Because in the first instance, state property is state property. Whether it is the responsibility thereof is the Department of Public Works or the directly a particular department. It's not the issue. Worse still, if departments are renting property, private property, and then they come back to say they are not sure who owns those properties, and therefore they can't pay. That kind of excuse cannot be accepted. And then a DPW must be allocated funds to verify who owns those buildings, as it happens now with the Division of Revenue Bill, before these departments can pay. It's not an excuse. You pay for the services that you use from the municipalities. The issue of ownership is not an issue here. Because otherwise, we are saying we will wait for another year or 4 years before DPW finishes the process of verifying the ownership of property. And in the meantime, the debt accumulates. So tell us how you are making these national and provincial departments pay the municipalities first. Chairperson, lastly, we have heard that there are businesses, private businesses, which own municipalities for water and electricity services. Is the IMTT aware of this? If it is, what are the details thereof? And what's the plan to address that particular part of the problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm the next. Let me also welcome the presentation. Point of first, the first one is with regards to the deep-rooted problems. Could you describe?
If you can just align the mic. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm saying, could they just describe these deep-rooted challenges that they are talking about? The second issue is with regards to the establishment of Bushbuck Ridge and the Butelo water board. How long have these water boards been established? And what is the current arrangement as of now? A chairperson, in most of the cases, municipalities are complaining that the communities are not paying. But I know of some of the municipalities that are not issuing the bills to the community. I'm from Witbank. We're not getting a monthly account. Not at all. And they are expecting the people to go and pay. I visited the municipality to find out what is the reason of not getting these bills every month. I was shown a board, a notice board there, that if you have an email, if you have a, you can download this so that you can receive your bills. I don't know how many of our communities do they use these gadgets, but they are not delivering it to the communities at all. And I don't know how are they going to pay their bills. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the present. Sorry for the invitation, but also I really would like to thank the minister for making time to come and add value to these discussions. And what's important is that whatever proposed solutions we come up with, I think the minister will be able to go back and reflect on those and check on a possibility of implementing or the feasibility of implementing. But also the IMTT, I'm very happy to hear that we have you sitting as a secretariat or as just one of the members of the IMTT, sir? Okay, as a member, but it's good that you are here. You know, from the discussion here, I have heard that there were previous proposed resolutions to these problems. The one stated by my colleague there is the one on the grants, whereby maybe I think National Treasury must also respond to this one, a certain percentage. Because you see, when leaders get together, they don't get together just to sit, it's to find possible solutions. So this one to me came as a possible solution to say, why don't you take a certain percentage of the grant and you ring fence it and then pay those boards so that we do not every day talk about these problems and not come up with sustainable solutions, not just solutions, sustainable solutions. So I'm sure you'll respond to that on what have you done with that, because it is a possible solution. But also, there's another very key input came from this side. I'm sorry, I just don't know your names, but it was one of the honorable members who said, when the savings are surrendered, I think it also talks to National Treasury, because it's money that is taken back from the municipalities. Why can't the savings from municipalities, because we already know that there are serious problems, especially with regards to these, is it interdepartmental debts, and then you take that saving and then use it to pay back instead of reallocating it to other programs. Because it's money that is coming back from them. But also the municipalities, I think it's very irresponsible of them that when they have money, they underperform. And that money, instead of it making an impact on service delivery, it gets returned. It's a problem. I guess it's a problem of capacity as well. But I'm happy because the minister has said that they are coming up with a program of empowering municipalities, you know, in terms of capacity. So at least we know that there is already a solution. There's a response from the minister to say, this is how we're thinking of solving this. The capacity issue is a serious problem, but it's fine. Government is responding because it is expected for this national government, I mean, national treasurer to respond. So he is responding, and we commend the minister for responding. The savings surrendered from municipalities to be ring-fenced and used to pay the water boards. And then also on the side of the water boards, what I want to know, I don't think it's the water boards, but my question is, on these debts, is there an accumulated interest? Because we need to be sensitive to the fact that if there's accumulated interest, they form part of fruitless expenditure. That's the angle that I'm coming from. You see, as members of this committee, we follow the money. After making sure that both your Division of Revenue Bill and the Appropriation Bill are passed in the House, we then follow to check on how the money is being used, because we are after value for money. So if there's accumulated interest, I would like to know how are we dealing with it, because whether we want or not, it is a fruitless expenditure, and that's where money is also wasted. So the sooner these debts are responded to or are paid or are leveled, you level a debt, yes, you pay a debt, the better, so that you can also save on these interest costs that you would like to use for more service delivery. I think that would be my intervention. Thanks.
Thank you. I guess the question that must come in for COCTA should talk about, at least I do hear what Mr. Fason is saying about the 10 billion rand or plus that is returned to National Treasury or the National Revenue Fund. If COCTA could talk directly to those, whether this financial year we shall still be talking about such, and compared to the past 2 years, if you can just have one a story being told about the amounts of such. The irony to that is that the Department of Water and Sanitation, the minister the other day was telling us in the committee that in the Giani situation, he will make sure that the department does indeed conclude the program. The program there would have been to reticulate, and that is not the mandate of the Department of Water and Sanitation. That is more of a mandate of COCTA, because the department only goes as far as supplying bulk, and then COCTA comes in, takes that water from that reservoir to the actual house. And COCTA, the point raised is that whilst COCTA shall not have been spending on its mandated areas, the department goes ahead and spend on areas where the department is not supposed to spend in. Hence also the Department of Water and Sanitation finds itself having to go through an irregular expenditure. Whilst COCTA is here, but not spending on areas where COCTA is supposed to spend. It's such a serious matter. The committee is attending on a legislation matter. The department, both minister, deputy, and another deputy, they are all not here. We only have one person from the Department of COCTA. And that's the seriousness that other members were making reference to. That indeed, without having to lambast on COCTA, but it really has to take these issues quite seriously. Without saying much, as I've just mentioned, that where the department is spending, COCTA is not spending on areas expected to spend on, but the Department of Water and Sanitation is spending. That's the first point. The second point really that one would wish us to look into, they relate to the maintenance, the water losses that we have. In relation to the department's program on war on leaks. And we did make a point clear as a committee that a collaboration between both Department of Water and Sanitation and COCTA is key when it comes to that program of war on leaks. Because this is infrastructure that belongs to the municipalities. You're not fixing bulk infrastructure. You're fixing infrastructure that deals with reticulation. So directly there you're dealing with infrastructure that belongs to COCTA, to municipalities. So these are the kinds of issues that I would really wish to latch on. Of course, the point has been raised about the need to ring-fence grants that go to municipalities related to water. At this juncture, I shall hand over to the co-chair, Mrs. Posa, whilst departments are expected to respond.
Okay. Well, thank you once more for this interesting engagement. I will now call upon... All right, let me say we will then request all the stakeholders to respond to the issues raised. Stakeholders, I'm talking about the Department of Water Affairs, Water and Sanitation. All right. Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, whoever has been sent here, I think he should be able to respond. National Treasury, South African Local Government Association. Let's start with the Department of Water Affairs, Water and Sanitation. Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I would like to speak to a collective five-point plan on the main question, what is being done to deal with the problem. So I would want to request that the official just read for us, 5-point plan. It speaks to what we have collectively as IMTT decided. Then the rest of the questions that were raised outside of that, the officials will respond to that, and I'll come in where there's deficiency in the response. If With your pleasure, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Lerato Twane. I come from the Department of Cooperative Governance. I do the coordination for the technical side of the IMTT. Chairperson, in terms of the work that the IMTT has been going through and looking at certain solutions to resolve the debt owed by municipalities, and not necessarily looking at only Eskom or only water, but generally to try and resolve this. There are five items that the IMTT has been able to be agreeable on and that we are now developing implementation plans for. So first of all, there has been a call to then recommend. So these points are the points that will be going as part of the recommendations that will be going to Cabinet by the IMTT to be taken forward. But these include that the IMTT has supported that there will be an installation of prepaid meters, so that it can assist municipalities to better collect, and that it's no longer optional for people to pay. This is obviously going to have certain conditions in terms of where it's applicable, because you know that in some circumstances it's not practical, especially on the electricity when it comes to certain amounts of electricity that exceeds certain amounts that where it's not practical but to be prepaid, but wherever practical. The MTT has also supported the appointment of independent revenue collectors for municipalities, and the MTT has is doing this with a lot of caution, understanding that they will be very careful in designing a model that is not going to add to the cost, similarly to how the current attorney model is adding to the cost of the debt, basically transferring the burden, but it will be try and get in a very efficient model. And when we're talking this, we're talking about a decentralized approach. It's not going to be a centralized approach. So it will be a decentralized approach where those municipalities that are struggling. So this is also linked to consequence management, because municipalities will obviously be allowed to do what they need to do by law in terms of their responsibility to collect the debt that is due to them. But then where they are not able to, as a support mechanism, then they will be assisted through this model to do that. The MTT has also supported that government should introduce a campaign this is like a government-wide campaign to encourage citizens to pay. So you'll see that in terms of the law as it stands now, with municipal debt, it's very, as much as you can enforce, but you also need to appreciate that when you get a willingness from the citizen to understand the services that they're getting and the value that they're getting and how it is important for them to pay for it, then they are able to be encouraged to pay. So there will be a government-wide campaign for payment of municipal debt, which is just all-encompassing, both water, electricity, as well as property rates. The MTT has also supported that there will be a strict management of payment default, which is going to be designed into the system as a consequence management process before the departments responsible or whoever is owed money gets to the point of having to follow the legal process. So it will be a self-correcting mechanism where actions will be taken as the default happens, instead of waiting for the situation to get to where it is now. The MTT has also supported that a lot of work needs to go to fixing of municipalities, because all this is happening because municipalities are not providing financially sustainable services, and also their financial management is not sound, as well as the government governance and all that. So that whole basket of support that is sitting on the B2B side of things. So those are the five main items where the IMTT is currently in agreement, and they're going to put those forward as proposals going forward in terms of resolving this. So within each of these, then, what the IMTT has done, they have given us some technical work streams that we are working on to then go and then make proposals in terms of how to implement these. Obviously, some of this work, for example, the work that the minister is channeling on the back to basic sides and fixing municipalities will continue, but where there is new proposals, then we are developing those implementation plans. So the plan is that when minister goes to cabinet, the IMTT goes to cabinet, they will already have those high level plans to be presented with that to show that there is a seriousness in terms of government to respond to these issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
We are in your hands, Honorable Minister.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Just remember, Chairperson, that part of the what the IMTT is trying to avoid constructively is this thing of taking each other to court between SALGA and NERSA. So this, in other words, what we're trying to do through the IMTT process described here is to intervene as government to make sure that the court action be the last resort rather than being the first step that they go through. So the composition, therefore, of the structure of the IMTT was meant to be itself the first line of solving the problem of non-payment. That is why we emphasized that even departments from provincial and national spheres should themselves be forced to pay municipalities where they owe debts to municipalities. So it's meant to try and do that. We hope that over the next few years that will materialize into a fundamental institutional arrangement that will ensure that municipalities will pay. But we take, I'm very pleased with the proposal, Chair, that has been made here, which we'll take forward in the IMTT to say, to propose that a portion of the equitable share, rather than the whole of it, but a portion of the equitable share be used to settle debts. Secondly, that because there's a lot of money, this is really the challenge here. We municipalities return money to treasury. We overspend, and we overspend on things that should have been paid through that money. So would your proposal, Chair, is going to assist here to say even as the money is returned to treasury, treasury itself must ensure that the debts are settled, so that we even do away with this unnecessary, fruitless expenditure as a result of paying the interest, accumulated interest on this. I'm taking this back to the IMTT, and I'm sure the minister and the team, all of us, will be happy with this, engaging on this matter, and we'll come back to the committee. Thank you.
Just one correction. It's a portion of the grant because it's a conditional grant. So not of the equity, yeah, portion of the grant. Okay, no, that's fine. And then, okay. Much, is that all from your side, Honorable Minister, so that we move on to the next response? Now, I think what will be key is that, I don't know how can we get the, so that you can you get the five points correct? What do I call them? What do you call them? Five-point plan as a corrective measure to the problem that is confronting us. Okay. No, that's fine. Is there another response maybe? Because I know we've handed over for responses. Another response so that we move on to the next stakeholder? None. So you are done as the department. Do you want to respond? Or must we allow all of them to respond? Follow-up questions.
Chair, helicopter, yes, thoughts on that.
No, I'm still coming to COCTA. The next one is COCTA. Who is representing COCTA? So you're playing both. Okay, fine. Are you able to respond to COCTA-related questions?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay.
I'm from COCTA, but because we are now running this program jointly as the IMTT, and COG, the Minister of COGTA being the lead department, that is why I have also all the information related to it. Chairperson, in terms of some of the questions that were asked, the one question that keeps coming out is that when municipalities are getting the grant funding, all that money going into them, why are they not paying? I think it's just important to also acknowledge that when we were assessing the root problems of this, is to just start from the beginning to say, within the fiscal framework for municipalities, water and electricity are trading services. So it then follows from that that they need to sell the water or electricity to be able to fund the service itself. So the service is almost self-funded. So the portion that they get relating to either to water in this instance of the equitable share is really to only fund that proper service, that portion that is allocated to the indigents that cannot pay. But any other, the entire service in its design within the fiscal framework is a self-funding service. So when you have circumstances, which is now the root cause question that has also been asked, where we have a lot of infrastructure leakages and infrastructure inadequacies that are causing us to have substantial losses, it means those losses equate to municipalities then buying bulk water but not able to realize that into revenue. And if they lose most of it in between and they're not able to realize it into revenue, this is now before they even get to supply it. And when they've given it to the people and the people are also not paying, it exacerbates the problem. So that's fundamentally, it's the infrastructure adequacy. It's also an issue of obviously the culture of non-payment that you're experiencing. And then thirdly, it's the inefficiencies within the municipal system itself, which are largely also linked to governance challenges, as well as a lot to do with the capacity challenges. So one of the questions was talking to about whether municipalities actually have the capacity to supply electricity, to supply water. And there are a lot of challenges in that regard in terms of that technical skill that is required, both on the supply side as well as at the operational side, because the question was both ways. So within that as one area that is being looked at as a challenge, there is some work that is being done by COGTA to try and correct. And a lot of investment has gone into the skills element and the support side on infrastructure by COGTA through our infrastructure agency, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, MISA. So through MISA, the department has employed a lot of technical capacity that is now being put into municipalities to go and assist them. So from town planners to engineers to artisans and all that, so to try and augment that. There's been a lot of support to assist municipalities to also just plan properly so that they can spend on their MIG and to hold their hand in terms of the project management from the MIG side. And that is starting to show some results trickling in, because you'll notice that in the last year of municipalities, the year that ended in June 2018, for the first time, there's been an increase in MIG in MIG spending as a grant, and we're really expecting that this increase will continue because that support is starting now to bear some fruits. So out of the infrastructure grants, MIG was one of the highest spent in the year that ended in June at 94%, which is an increase from 92% the previous year. And we are really watching the trend closely to ensure that the municipalities are supported in this regard. Because when they spend their MIG, then it means that they are beginning to work on fixing their infrastructure. There are also other government-implemented policy decisions, such as now municipalities are forced to spend a percentage on maintenance, because what they had done over the years was to let the infrastructure deteriorate, and when they don't maintain it, then that goes faster, obviously, and we get to a point where we are at the moment. So there's a lot of that is also being monitored, that when they spend their operational projects, are they also focusing on issues of infrastructure? So, Chairperson, in a nutshell, that is the work, besides the obviously what we're now doing jointly and working jointly as the IMTT, which is all the affected departments and entities, and we are driving joint programs in that regard and working closely with municipalities. So even as we go and support municipalities with financial recovery plans, which we do jointly with the treasuries, we are now more focused and we are looking at more at the minister is emphasizing, the Minister of Cochrane is emphasizing that we, when we look at municipalities, we need to go into first do a distinction between a municipality that needs support and that one that needs intervention. And the emphasis is more to put a lot of effort on the support so that they don't get to that point where they need intervention, which is what we currently are sitting with. So that's in a nutshell. In terms of, I think, the issue of the monies that are being returned to the National Revenue Fund, so that's basically to say that the emphasis really is to get those monies spent to make sure that they go to where they need to go to correct the whatever situation, and the support is driving towards that, because most of these grants are conditional grants at the moment, and without those conditions changing, then you cannot obviously channel them elsewhere. They will need to serve that purpose, which currently it's still, for example, for the MIG, it's still a relevant purpose because of the infrastructure challenges that we are currently experiencing. So that will talk to the deep-rooted challenges that we're being asked about. We're doing a lot of work as well intergovernmentally to resolve the issue of government debt, which is a big thing. There has been a big focus on the government debt, which is also managed intergovernmentally, and the Treasury is also part of that intergovernmental solution to it. And without preempting the work that we're doing, but we have a lot of commitment, even from the Minister of Finance, to now show that there will be mechanisms that will be applied to enforce the payment of government debts to municipalities. I'm just checking to see if I did not. In terms of why does the public not pay? Is it our policies? What are the problems? What mechanisms are we using to ensure that municipalities are paid? I think that will be then embedded in that basket of those solutions that the IMTT is proposing. And really fundamentally, it is a combination of the culture as well as the inefficiencies. Somebody mentioned issues of saying our billing systems being corrected. I think we're doing a lot of work in terms of correcting our systems. The whole MSCOA project, where the some municipalities were restricted in terms of what system they can use, has also got a very big emphasis on the revenue side to make sure that they have systems that will allow them to bill correctly. We have currently a project that COCTA is leading on the municipal simplified revenue plan model, and that plan specifically looked at their practices when it comes to, are they billing all properties they should be billing? Are they billing to the correct person address and all that? So slowly we are trying to trash out all those inefficiencies to make sure that at least from the process and the system side, we are able to also support the interventions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Shinon, the on the COCTA response? Nothing. Okay, we'll then move on to National Treasury. Your response?
Thank you, Honourable Chairs, Honourable Members. My name is Sadesh Ramjatan from National Treasury. Just the two points that the co-chair has highlighted. The first one being top slicing of grants, and the second one surrendering or using the money that's surrendered to pay the debt. Now, I think the legal process, the DORA process, is very clear on what the money can be used for in terms of the allocation. And it doesn't permit us to use grant funding to pay for operational purposes. I think that's very clear, right? So you have grant, conditional grant, that's for a specific purpose, and those conditions, as my colleague from COCTA indicated, have got a framework against what that money can be spent against. Now, we cannot take that money, which Cabinet has, through DORA legislators, and use that to pay for operational matters at the municipal level. Operational matters at the municipal level are meant for the municipality to resolve and to manage effectively, efficiently. Now, and again, this matter of the water and sanitation debt has gone to the IMTT, and there are systemic and structural issues that need to be resolved, similar to what's being done on the electricity side. Now, even if there was a system or a mechanism to pay off the debt tomorrow or today, we haven't resolved the problem, because there are root causes that are impacting on this debt escalating all the time. Until we resolve that and deal with that effectively, this problem will perpetuate all the time. And I think that's what the IMTT is seeking to do. We're trying to look at solutions that are long-term and are sustainable for the municipality going forward. The court cases that the department spoke about is also a short-term measure, in my opinion. All right? It is getting the municipality to pay, but in the same token, municipality is not paying someone else and paying the department because of the legal process. So we're not dealing again with the root cause at the municipalities. You're just moving the problem all the time. Right? And as indicated earlier, the 100 million rand that was used for the court cases could have been used more effectively elsewhere. So the Minister of COCTA is very clear on the court cases being the last resolution, last resort to deal with this problem. Many of the municipalities that you find that are owing the Water Board and Department of Water and Sanitation are also those that are owing electricity in Eskom, for electricity in Eskom. Now here we are looking at just the two major bulk suppliers, but we're not considering the impact it has also on the SMMEs that are providing services to municipality and not getting paid. And no one is looking at that component closely. So we're saying that you cannot be looking at this trying to resolve the debt of one bulk supplier or both bulk suppliers without looking at the totality and what the problems are to deal with creditors at the municipality holistically. So the IMTT is in the process of dealing with this here, and I'm sure the resolutions that come out of the IMTT will look at the structural and the systemic issues that are underlying or causing the debt to escalate on a regular basis. And maybe that will then eliminate the process of water and sanitation debt escalating. From National Treasury side, the government debt component, the DG of National Treasury issued an instruction to all departments, CFOs, giving them the instruction that in the event that debt is not paid or settled within 30 days as per the law, there could be an instance of where financial mismanagement will be instituted on that CFO. So there have been processes to deal with this more effectively from National Treasury side. Again, the matter of the ownership of property that's impacting on municipalities being owed. The next cycle, the MTBS has made allocation to resolve this. It is on Public Works Department of Public Works budget for the next year to deal with the ownership issues, because that is also a critical issue that needs to be resolved going forward. Now, you'll also find that as much as it's generalized that government or departments are owing municipalities, and therefore municipalities cannot pay the bulk supplies. But our research at National Treasury showed that there's very little correlation between the municipalities that are owing the bulk supplies and departments that are owing those same municipalities. In fact, of the 12 billion that was owed to ESCOM, we found that only 1.3 billion was owed by departments to those municipalities. So I'm saying that there's very little correlation in that. However, I must indicate...
Can you repeat that?
I'm saying that there's a generalized statement saying that departments owing municipalities, and therefore municipalities are unable to pay their creditors, in particular the bulk suppliers, ESCOM water boards. Now, in our work that we've done, our research that we've done, we found there was little correlation between what's owed to these municipalities by departments, national and provincial, and those same municipalities that owe the bulk suppliers. So in the past, we found that of the large debt that's owed to the top 20 municipalities owing ESCOM, we found only 1.3 billion was owed to them by government departments. So I'm saying that I have to make it clear that even though we find that situation, we are trying to eliminate the fact that departments or government or organs of state are owing municipalities any monies, and they must pay within 30 days. And we're very clear on that, that it must be paid within 30 days. Chair, I'm not sure whether I've answered all your questions, but however, the two questions specifically on the top slicing and surrendering of funds, I think we will also respond in writing to the committee, giving the legislative process that deals with that. Thank you.
Okay, before.
Chair, municipalities are not the same. Some municipalities don't even have a source of revenue that is decent.
I'm just checking. Can you hear that side?
I want to.
Can hear? All right. Raise your voice a little bit. I know the honourable minister has got a soft voice, but...
sorry, Chair. Chair, I was just saying that I don't want this to be mistaken. What the official from Treasury is saying about 1.2 billion rands, and comparatively talking about this thing of departments in the province, like at provincial and national level, having to pay municipalities. It is something that has to be done. Whether municipalities owe little or no, I mean, this money is 1.2 compared to 8 or whatever. Municipalities, where we stay from very small municipalities, some of us, we know what it means to be owed money and not to be paid. I don't want that to be mistaken here, because when I raise this to, when I put it on this agenda, I wasn't even only thinking about municipalities having to pay water or electricity. I was talking about small municipalities that need every cent that they are owed by national and provincial governments. Thank you very much.
For chopping up, over to Salga.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. Greetings to the House. On behalf of Salga, we wanted to say thank you very much for the invitation. I will be requesting our own Mr. William Moroka, he's a water specialist, and Mr. Zano Fatuma from Freestat is the PEO, to do the presentation today for us.
Just introduce yourself so that all those who are attending can know you.
Thank you once more. My apology on that. I am Councillor Charles from Mpumalanga. I'm a SALGA NCOP rep. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Co-Chair. As I've been introduced, my name is William, and I'm from SALGA. Just a couple of issues that I'd like to raise. Firstly, that, and I'm responding directly to the issue about the capacity of municipalities to deliver water and sanitation. And I'd like to preface my input by saying that the country has really adopted a decentralized system of how water will be provided, and the vehicle for that is through municipalities. So that's the first statement that I'd like to make. But second to that, over a period of literally 20 years, we have not necessarily as a sector looked at how municipalities in the sector has been providing services, whether institutionally so, we are actually geared up to deliver that particular service. We do know, Chair, that constitutionally it resides with municipalities, right? However, having said that, we have not necessarily looked at appropriate vehicles going forward in terms of are we actually doing the right things in terms of providing services through municipalities, water boards, and the department. We have not done that kind of an analysis, and hence we can't come to a conclusion now that says whether municipalities do have capacity to deliver or not. In actual fact, I would like to make a statement that says the entire sector needs to relook at itself and then come up with instruments and mechanisms to able to deliver this water sustainably. So that's the second point I'd like to raise here. The third point, Chair, is that you know, municipalities are different in terms of their makeup and their characteristics. If you look at the metropolitan municipalities and the secondary cities, we can fairly say those are municipalities that are, you know, kind of adequately capacitated to deliver the service. But once you look at districts and some local municipalities, particularly your B4s, then there's a bit of a challenge there. We are unable to attract the relevant skills in those particular municipalities. And hence, in some respect, there's deterioration of services in those municipalities. So that's the third point I'd like to make. The fourth point I'd like to make, Chair, is that as SALGA, on a continuous basis, we do engage with our councillors to really give them appropriate training to be able to make the right decisions, because that's where the buck stops with council at the end of the day. I mean, as technocrats, we can make proposals to council, but if council does not apply its mind in terms of what is in front of it, it does pose a challenge in terms of implementation. And hence, on a continuous basis, as SALGA, we do provide councillor training, councillor induction, just to empower them to understand the complexities of this water business, because it's not an easy business, as we know. The fifth point, Chair, I'd like to make is that also on a continuous basis, technically, we do make or train municipalities in terms of costing and pricing, because we do know that in some instances, and I'm reluctant to say this, but I need to say it, in some instances that we do not have a deeper understanding of our cost structures in terms of how much it costs to produce a kiloliter of water. And I don't want to generalize, but it does happen that in some instances there are those particular challenges. but equally important that our pricing regime as well at the municipal level does have difficulties to the extent that there's an observation that when tariffs are actually passed by respective municipalities, some of them are not cost reflective. And it poses a challenge in terms of a gap that will already exist. So if water costs you 6 rand to produce, and the municipality comes back and say, we'll actually charge our customers 4 rand, already there's a 2 rand deficit. And we don't know where that deficit was going to make up for it. So there are those, kind of challenges that we need to deal with. And perhaps the last point, Chair, is that we are working jointly with National Treasury to look at the reconfiguration of the whole grant system in the country. And really, we've made some strides in that regard to the extent that if one looks at the current DORA framework under MIG, it does talk about a component of refurbishment and maintenance. Right. So it means that going forward, that as municipalities roll out new infrastructure, using MIG, there is a component of that money that they actually use for rehabilitation maintenance. And that is the part that I think we'll probably need to arrest to make sure that it does not go back to the fiscus, that it's parked somewhere for MISA and SALGA and the Department of Water and Sanitation to come in and say, we will actually perhaps reinforce that money and then go into projects that will actually help us to rehabilitate some of the municipal systems that we have. And ZANU will talk about some of the work that we've done in the Free State, trying to arrest the issue of debt. Chair, there's a lot of things that we're doing as SALGA, but we might not have to spell out some of these things here, but it will come through the IMTT process. Thank you.
I hear SAGA is doing a lot. The Standing Committee on Appropriation would want to know the impact. Something else to do? The impact. We want to see the impact. So as you do, can there be value for money? Thank you. Next.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Zano Kaulofutwa.
If you can raise your voice, sir.
My name is Zano Kaulofutwa. I'm the Provincial Executive of SALGA in the Free State. I will not repeat some of the points that have been made, Chairperson, except perhaps to link my responses to the parts that have not been covered. The question that we opened with, implications for the withholding of equitable share. Chairperson, I think my input on this would be that a discussion of that nature needs to be linked to the overall discussion on the review of the model for the funding of local government. If we exclude it from that context, we may miss a number of things. I would just suggest that we link it to that discussion so that this discussion gets taken in that context. And just to note, or maybe to remind the committee, we had attempted in 2015 to utilize this remedy in dealing with the challenge between municipalities and ESCOM, and it has resulted in unintended consequences of heightened interstate conflict and tensions. And that is probably something that we need to tread carefully towards. We are part of the IMTT, so we are in agreement with the 5-point plan and we will continue to do that. And the work that we've been doing since our last meeting in November and now has been linked to some of the things that we have identified in the five-point plan. The areas where we have also started working on this is an area on exploring solutions to understanding the core drivers to the problem. For example, municipalities, we've taken some of the municipalities that are in the top 20, which have been struggling municipalities, Machabeng. We are having a task team that is working with Machabeng on trying to develop a water balance to understand the complete value chain of the problem. Part of what is coming in this work, Chairperson, is a recognition that needs to be made that some of the municipalities, particularly the top 10, are municipalities that we need to recognize that even though we, notwithstanding the apportionment of fault lines, we may necessarily need a special dispensation injection to these municipalities in order for these municipalities to be able to stand up and be turned around. For example, one of the municipalities that owe and is crippling one of the water boards, Sedibeng, Machabeng, which owes 2.4. As a corporate entity, it's an asset of 2.4 billion. This asset has debt to one creditor of 2.4 billion and another creditor of 2.1 billion. It tells you that there is a serious problem of insolvency. Unless we then deal with the fundamental driver to the structure of what drives this problem, we may have a problem, we may not be able to solve this by simply withholding the next equitable share for just that current account. It therefore needs us to look at least these municipalities and treat them differently, especially the top 10, to say, in addition to the restructuring of their internal control environment, what are some of the external support, structural support is needed to help these municipalities turn around? This municipality will not turn around simply by reinforcing B2B, which we must do and we are continuing to do. It needs more than that. It needs an injection that may release it from this historic debt that at this stage is at a stage at which it cannot survive. I do not see how much their collection levels can never be able to meet the current requirements for meeting their obligations. And that is something that needs to be dealt with in the IMTT in the broader discussion around the funding model. The minister visited us this year, and instructed us on improving how we've been doing things, and we've started that in the Free State. We've set up a provincial joint steering committee, which involves all of us seated here, which is an institutional mechanism that will assist us in planning in an integrated way and ensuring that we deal with the challenges in an integrated format. We hope that as we continue in this format, it will improve the situation of minimizing the tensions and improving the commitment and the obligations to each other between municipalities and water boards, and as well as between the state and municipalities. The debt to municipalities, one of the challenges in 2015 that made the remedy of the withholding of equitable share difficult to justify was an issue of justice and balance of justice. At that point, municipalities were owed 96 billion. We were owing about, I think, 11.6 or something billion as local government. The challenge is that balance. It also creates difficulties. I can't speak on behalf of Treasury. It may create difficulties if we are in our democracy going to ask Treasury without looking at its capacity and its willingness to go into that area of having to play this role of holding money from state entity X that should have gone to state entity B, because state entity X and state entity X were unable at the level of their contract between the two to manage each other and to ensure that they are able to meet their obligations at that level. It may be difficult. There is a proposal, Chairperson, that the IMTT needs to look at as well, which is a proposal to the state as a whole. All of us, the majority of the money that's owed to local government is not by government, it is by ourselves. That money is money that we need to find innovative ways of recovering that money in order to increase liquidity of municipalities. We are in the process of engaging in the IGR space to propose reviews in the tax laws to enable, for example, innovations such as if Zanokolo is declaring the tax for year 2018 and there is money due back to Zanokolo. Before that money is paid back to Zanokolo by the state needs to ask a question. Are you owing your municipality where you come from? And then before they hand over the money to Zanokolo, they topslice that money or they offset that money against the state. That is if that is the role that we want to ask SARS as a country to be adding into its current role. Thanks, Chairperson.
Have just received their responses. I just want to check if there are follow-up questions and also new questions will be accommodated. Honorable Member Mama Makaula, who has any follow-up? Oh, Honorable Member Imam, Honorable Member Manana, Honorable Member Snukwanyane, follow-up questions and new questions. Thank you very much. Shall we then raise those questions, starting with Honorable Member Makaula?
Ngibonge sihlalo. Noma ngazange impendulo kulezi ebengiyibuzile ekuqaleni, angazi ke mhlawumbe ngayithola next year. Makwenzeke ngabuya eParliament term esibili. Ngizwa nginokujabula mangibona ake ngiqale nje ngo-COCT yeza kusalka. Kukhona into la engiphatha kambe engifuna ke ngiyibuke. Into yokuqala nje ngifuna ukukhuluma ngayo ile ndaba yabantu esikhulwa ngabo yokukhokha kwezimali kamasipala. Uthi umasipala bawisha. Ngiqala phansi kodwa ngiza nayo. Abanye omasipala, abanye abantu komasipala bayathanda ukukhokha and bayazama ukukhokha. Kuba nale nkinga le ngizocela silalele kahle, hayi kambe. Kuthiwa njengami nje kwami mina nginehouse number esho ukuthi se-house number bani. Ifika imali ibhili ezosho ukuthi ufanele ngikhokhe amanzi amangaka. Uzothutha udukuduku inyangeni eyi-one kufika enye futhi incwadi. Mhlambe ngenyanga eyi-one uthole ukuthi kufika incwadi ezi-different i-price but kodwa i-date iyodwa. Lana engazi kwenza kanjani. Okunye, yile nto noma ngazi noma kuthiwa kushawa edonsayo yini. Uthole ukuthi mina ngiyayihlonipha ingqalazinda and ngiya-understand ukuthi kunabantu lafuna bahole ngokuthi lamanzi esiwaphuzayo akafani nalawo aqhamuka emfuleni or because vele abantu sibaqeqeshile. Uthola ukuthi lana khona la komasipala kunalento le yeye ekuthiwa yini meter reading le yokuthi estimate. Wena njengokuthi uvumile ukukhokha la manzi noma ukhokhele le ngqalazinto ngabe ugesi ngabe yini bazovele babuye nje njalo manje bazokushaya mhlawumbe mangabe bethe khokha 1000 kule nyanga awukho mhlawumbe ishalele Cape Town iy'ngane zakho ezile wena uzobe njalo ufika bazokushaya ngale mali tokhokha le mali. Ngebhadi mna ngiyayithanda le nto yokuthi ngiye ngibukeke ezingathi angisile ekhanda because angisikhulumi isiNgisi but kodwa mina ngisile ngoba ngiyazi ukuthi uhulumeni uthi asihambe siye kubantu siyobheka iy'nkinga siyobheka ukuthi why bengafuni ukukhokha silalele sibheke iy'nkinga ababhekene nazo. Uthole ngayibambela la kuthi le nto yamathenda sihlalo noma bosihlalo lapho ngaphambili nawe minister sinenkinga nayo angazi sizoyithini. Yona le nto sasiyibheka ukuthi mhlambe abantu bakithi bazuke nabe ke bethole ukuhlafuna kodwa uma uthi uyabheka abantu bakithi abanendaba nabantu instead babe nendaba nabantu banendaba nemindeni yabo nezisu zabo. La ngithole ukuthi baqasha abantu ababheke ngisho iqualification yakhe ukuthi uyile esikoleni uyile mhlawumbe boba-traina ukuthi le meter reading ifundwa kanjani. Angikhulumi indaba ka-HSA yenzeke eThekwini. Uthothi laba bantu baqala ebusuku 11 aze ngababuza abanye athi mina njengoba niphuze kanje utshwala nisahleli la kagate ejointini nithi niyosebenza nizwafunde kanjani ama-meter reading nokwenza ebusuku bangena ebusuku bephuzile yes bazo ekuseni ngo-3 bayabuya. Mina nje ngeke ngikhulumisane phambi kaNkulunkulu kunomntwana ohlala kwami ngambuza athi niyasebenza ngazathi mina kubona ngeke becacise mhlambe baqashiwe bambe idumbu yini abafuna ukusho ngangifuna ukwazi igama lenkampani even nengubo abazigqokayo. Manje kumina lana nginale nto mhlambe esihlalo nawe minister engibuyela kuyona ukuthi kungenzeka le nto mhlambe yibo labantu abaqashwayo kuthiwa bahambe beyobulala infrastructure yabo len ukuze kungene lama-truck ebengikhuluma ngawo izolo. Ezinye zezinto ofuna siziqaphele and la ku-Cocter. U-Cocter mina ngempela ngifuna ukuhamba amanga. U-Cocter ungibangela ukuthi inhliziyo yami bebuhlungu. Ngoba u-Cocter as thina as national la sithembele kuyena ukuthi uyabheka yena uthi ingqalasizinda ziyaya yini kubantu. Ngoba mina ngibona isidingo soba mema lana sihlale bazobe bezobaningi ngoba sithini kade sasikhuluma no-Cocter akukho nogoda sigculisa ngakho and siyilo mnyango. Ngizalana-ke kusalga. Ngiyabonga salga ukubona and ngiyajabula and angiqali futhi ukunibona. Inkinga kaSalga iyodwa wazi yena kuphela ukuthi funa ahlangane namacustom namakhansela hlalwe phansi kudliwe banikezwe ikha. Anginendaba ukuthi kufila njani kunina bazi ukuthi kube nale mhlangano abayibizayo amakhansela babanikeze ikhwama amabhega abhalwe uSalga bona ikhansela ezihambe lisaka lifake lona ababheki ukuthi amakhansela ayaya yini kubantu ayayenza into okufanele ayenze ayifungele. Iy'nkinga sineyinkinga ey'ngaka nje u-Cocter namakhansela no-Salga akawenzi lo msebenzi okufanele awenze. Kuyimanje ngikhuluma nani nje kunamatoyitoyi ayinzima kabi and yabona le nto yamatoyitoyi ayikho right because ibulala infrastructure leya ya ebesikhona angabe siqhubekela phambili. Yini ukufeyila kaSalga nokufeyila kaCocter? Ningawenza wonke lama plan Kota stila yaka sebenza if le mnyango u2 esondelene nabantu phansi ingayenza. Ngicela ulalele ikhopta, ulalele nawe sanga. Ethekwini 100. What 100? Engonyameni abanawo amanzi kuphela unyaka manje. Ngaqala ngayireporta lento, thema sengiyilandela ngabuya ngazasho no minister nawe sihlalo. Nomunye umhlonishwa lo Dumisani sengiyitholile lanto ukuthi ngeke siye silungise inkinga kunalabantu okuthiwa idela ngokubona laba bantu laba baclaim ukuthi babe-exile laba bantu manje abatholi lutho so any into nje intuthuke ngisho udoti imfucuza igcwele kunuka amalokishi laba bantu ababoshwa benziwa lutho ku-100 ikhansela lakhona ama nginazo nezithombe la minister ngizomsendela umhlonishwa uDumisani bengiye khona Saturday abantu abanawo amanzi nakuphansi kontambanani inkinga ekhona lapha ya akukhona amapipe akhona lawa ka government wafakile amanzi amapipe wafaka ama ground tank into eyenzakala lapha ya kuqashwa labantu nami engazi noma mhlambe laba sithi babenza meter reading mhlambe bayileyo ngxenye nabambe bevandalize ukuze kungene lento kuthiwa ama-truck bathole itenda lela khansela abantu mabeshaya itoyitoyi libahupha ngeyibhama angikwazi ukusukuma ngithi ngizofunga ngizofungela ukudlala ngabantu yizinto zonke lezo eThekwini phakathi lapha yangase engine fire ngikhuluma nococtor nosadka ngoba makhansela ufuna sibone ukwenzani kunabantu lapha bayiphilisa kabuhlungu imisebenzi ayikho ifreeze siwe imisebenzi kodwa manje mase bedayisa umbila bayarenta barenta 900 ngenyanga okay ke ukurenta kufanele kodwa abanawo amanzi abanawo ama-toilet niyayibona loo nto laba bantu bafundisa izingane ngifuna ukwazi mina ukuthi kanti ikhansela yini why ningawalandela amakhansela nithi makhansela uyatoyitoyi what it is wozuzoakhawunta lana nothi le nto ukuthi lana thina asihlukeni thina la kunational abantu abasebenza kufana nokuthi uyubona inkukhu eqhwandela emuva mina ngithi sihlalo ibuhlungu into eyenzakalayo ngangisebuffalo in-east London esilandana abantu balapha yabanomfula abathi abakwazi nokuphuza ngangamtshela ngale nto laba bantu abanawo amanzi kuyimanje abantu kuyimakontambanani baphamba bephuze ngehle ngahamba nabo ngakhumula icathulo ngamisa imoto ngashona phansi nabo ngobuka bakithi ayikho into ebuhlungu ukuthi sikhona sibamnyama sathi ngo-1994 siyakhululeka sizophatha izwe sihlula nje ukusiza abantu ngamanzi salka kopta hayi mina ngifuna ukuqamba angezi English I'm so angry ngani nje ninodo ngoba nina anifuni ukuzwelana nathi omasipala laba bakhona bangakhokha abantu even ugesi lo qoba kufika manje eskom engeza fika ifake yonke bafike bazoyigqabula ukubona intambo enkulu eyibona ukuthi le ntambo ke kusuka umuntu ordinary people afika ayilokhozi person afika inqamula yini inkinga sengiyagcina inkinga yilaba abantu bona laba esibathembile esithi baholelwa uhulumeni baphinde baqasha abantu bavandalize for land yamathenda ngiyabonga.
Imam. Thank you, Chairpersons.
But may I please guide? We have a sitting, ne? So we also want to give the others and then these ones. So if you can summarize, ma, because you can't have the same time as Mama.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll refer to the record previously jotted by the Honourable Member before. Firstly, I'm referring to COCTA. There's something I want to highlight.
the issue of not paying the money owed to the municipality. I want the South to know bad habits that are done by municipalities. If you are a regular payer of municipality rates, you end up no longer interested to do so. In 1 month, you get two bills with different amounts for the same period. I discovered this myself and I saw it. The meter readers that are there in Durban, they wear big boots, they wear filthy clothes, and they are always drunk. How can you expect someone to do a good job while he is intoxicated? And people enrich themselves through tenders and hiring people that are unqualified for the job. When coming to SALCA, what are you saying about the municipalities and councillors that do not do their work that they are supposed to do? And what is the job description of councillors? It appears as if we are totally satisfied with what they are doing presently. And as I'm speaking, in all the provinces, there are protests. People are arrested. Where are you, as SALCA? The budget is allocated, but doesn't reach people down there so that they are given their basic services. And what are you doing to ensure that councillors are doing their job and you are being proud of that? And in what 100 in Durban, in Engonyameni area, there is no water, pipes have been vandalized, people do not have water, they are suffering. And there are women who are selling mealies in Durban. They cook it and sell it to the truck drivers around in the area. And they pay a rent of 900 rand per month. They have no water, they have no toilets. These people use money to feed their families. The municipality doesn't help them at all. Instead, they get arrested by the metro police. What role are you playing in such instances as SALCA? Where are your councillors to come and assist hawkers who voted for you? Why don't you make councillors come and account? Even in East London, I've been there, there's no water. SALCA, COCTA, I'm so angry. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to Honourable Member Imam.
Thank you, Chair. Allow me to apologize about the police committee before I came here. First of all, let me start off, Chair. Some of the matters might be covered. Not forgetting the query I had the last time, which this department has been running away from me for the last 3 or 4 years, and has up to this day not provided the relevant information that they want, that I wanted and requested, in terms of the corruption that we found alive in the Eastern Cape. And every time the department came here, they pushed the goalpost, and they have to date not been able to give it to us. But I'd like my colleague there, who made some very wise comments, both my colleagues there from the SALCA, to tell us what is your suggestions or proposals in terms of the grant system. What do you propose or suggest that you think will be a solution? Now, the issue of revenue collection, we've been having this matter being discussed for a long period of time, particularly where municipalities are burdened by not only departments not paying, but consumers. And one of the things I know that we introduced in Itegwini at one point in time was to put a hold on all areas and get people to start entering into agreements to pay their current with a small amount towards the areas. Doesn't matter what the amount, because you'll still be recovering that amount, and they will be paying for their current accounts as well. I have a concern I must express by wanting to withhold the supply of water, because obviously it's going to impact on many, many people's lives, but it's going down to capacity or failure to manage the affairs, and that is the reason why we have this ongoing problem or challenges. Also, I want to express my disappointment with the department particularly, and I'm talking about the Western Cape. There has been so much of cries and screams by the people in terms of what they're going on, in terms of the water, their bills, which is coming to 50, 60, 70,000 per month. They've tried everything. Nobody is willing to assist them. Absolutely nobody. You know, and they've been given no options. Either you pay or we discontinue your services. You've reduced the consumption of their water, but the bills are going up 3 and 4 times. There's been talk about the problems with the meters, with the billing system, with everything. But the difficulty is that the department has not come to intervene in the interests of the people of the Western Cape, and they continue to suffer as a result of those challenges. So I must express my disappointment in terms of that. Now, the other issue is SARS. My colleague, I'd like to agree with you, but SARS is already overburdened with enough challenges. To want to go and put this onto SARS now to be able to go and do that, it's like asking the heaven and earth or whatever it is to meet. It's really going to be a very, very... I think we need to find more innovative ways in being able to do it. The problems are there. But I also want to say to SALSA and the other COCTA, you know, we talk about this at national level very often. We just talk. We don't do anything about it. Maybe you need to take the bull by the horns and ensure that municipalities become self-sustainable by ensuring there's development there, by, you know, doing something about making people invest in all these rural towns, because we've debated this at many times, I must tell you, but I don't see the effort being put into going and making these people. And remember, you're sitting on a time bomb. It can only get worse. It can't get better if you're not going to do anything about changing the situation that the status quo there. It's only going to get worse. So we need to try and be proactive and see how. And maybe you guys, SALSA and COCTA, can come together and go and drive this investment program into the rural areas to make themselves sustainable, you know, and creating jobs there and things like that. I think that will go a long way. Well, some of the issues here appears to be a policy matter, and I know the minister is here as well, and I think it needs to be dealt with at the policy level to be able to change certain things as to how we're going to actually deal with that. And the other problem in the water and sanitation section is the, you know, we've gone on some oversight visits. We saw contracts that were standing, and I must tell you, we've repeatedly discussed this even in this committee. There are certain goods or equipment or pipes or whatever we use regularly. And we've repeatedly said with the high unemployment rate, why are we importing it from India, China, and America? Those were the three countries given to us. Why can't we create our industry, create those jobs? Because these are items you use on a daily basis. But it is still not happening. We're just talking about it, but we don't see us moving in the direction. So I just want to plead with you that if we want to change what is happening on the ground, then each one of us have a role to play. And if we don't play that important role in changing that, believe me, it's just not going to fall from the sky. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your intervention. Next.
Chair, I didn't hear anyone talking about the establishment of the two boards. I thought maybe they will give us the update.
Okay. I think it's a question that was not responded to earlier on. So if we could get that response. But also in our engagement, Honourable Member Sinukwanyane.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thanks for the presentation. I will touch on some items that have already been, sorry, I've got quite a bit of a flu, items that have been touched on, but I would like to just speak to the issue of this non-payment by government departments, national and provincial. I mean, we have municipalities being owed money, or owing money to water boards. Water boards owing the department. Government departments owing the municipalities. A vicious cycle that I think is one of our biggest challenges. And this issue of government departments not paying ESCOM municipalities is historical. Are we making any progress at all in this regard? Because it's always been a sore point that municipalities, yes, they've got to deliver services, and yet this is what is happening. Because sometimes I think that, you know, the money that's owed to them is the money that they will be offsetting some of their debt. But it's a big question. Sorry. And then in terms of just touch on some of the steps that have taken. I see that you send letters of demand, meeting with municipalities, meetings with COFTA, blah, blah. In terms of these steps, are these new steps, or you just emphasizing that you are going to continue doing that? Because I would imagine that this has already been happening, because the problem has been with us, I don't know for how long. Now, coming to the issue of some of these steps, there is somewhere where you say water restrictions. You know, my concern is always that, you know, you restrict the water supply, you do whatever. What are the implications for the beneficiaries, the poorer beneficiaries? Because I can imagine that there are also people who are not paying because they are poor. And when you restrict, they can't go and buy bottled water or anything like that. And what component of these people that are owing are the wealthy? Because those are the biggest culprits. They can afford. People can afford, but they don't. It's not necessarily people who can't afford that don't pay for services. Is there any targeted program maybe to try and deal with those people? And linked to that, I saw there where you've indicated that you've handed over to legal, and then 63 summons, 135. I'll just mention the two. Who are these people? That's a very small figure. Who are they? Is there a particular group? Because I know you've got thousands, if not more, of people that you wouldn't want to target. And then lastly, are we winning the war of the billing system? Because I think that's one area that has been always a challenge for many of us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other? All right, from my side. Okay, Honorable Chair.
The whole idea about this session was to get a sense of progress or lack thereof. Now, what we are clearly getting that these are plans and plans and plans and plans and plans. It's not only after a year per se. The matter has been ongoing for quite some time. Now the challenge we have is that the debt, especially municipal debt on water, it's increasing. Now, we are not getting any sense that says this is how we're going to arrest the situation, which I thought would get. Perhaps a parallel to the five-point plan, the IMTT is talking to. There is debt collection. Straightforward. What ideas are there for such? Granted, you have municipalities that can afford, you don't have, others that cannot afford. But we've got to talk about that debt collection. Instead of it going down, it is increasing. Mr. Person was talking about 1.7 billion rand increase. Now, on one hand, we have a department minister that cannot meet its commitments. These are also, among others, your accruals. On the other hand, you have money that you can grab. Some of your programs have since been stalled. Others are still being paid and expected of those payments to be in the coming financial year. But there is money that you can easily access. That debt collection is one of the issues for me. I like the concept, but having to be practical about it is another thing, of a need for ring fencing of some of these grants. Now, whether you do have such a capacity in your municipalities, Saga, of having to ring fence these grants expected of municipalities. When it comes to implementation of water-related infrastructure, the practicality there becomes a question. Minister, you have responded on the equitable share, perhaps not having to pool all of it together, but a part, the language of top slicing is being made use of. Some of the deaths, in terms of age, they go beyond 120 days. Whether National Treasury might wish to come in here, you do have any situation where in government there comes a stage where you talk about a bad debt. At what point do you get to that situation? We've made a point repeatedly in our committee on water and sanitation. Every time we talk about this, we don't get any comment at all from COCTA. Having to have a joint program with the Department of Water and Sanitation that deals with war on leaks. We had asked the department, COCTA department, about whether or not we are going to take any money back to National Treasury in this financial year, so that we are able to be proactive. Those would be the issues parallel that process of your 5-point plan and all the plans that are there. Thanks.
Okay, from my side, I think there was a question that was asked on the root causes. It is said that if you can define the problem, you will be able to find the solution. So, indeed, we need to know the root causes. I think a lot of people touched on that one. What is the cause? So that we can then find a way of turning this challenge around the root cause. And then... I know Mr. William, is it Muroka, the water specialist? Muroka? Is it Muroka, the surname? Oh, yes. Says we're talking about the lack of capacity in the municipalities, but that assumption is not informed by anything. And he further went on to say we need to undertake a study on the capacity of municipalities. You are right, but then the assumption, what is happening now is a symptom that makes people to arrive at that assumption. You now have an assumption or it's an assumption. I think you can then depart from that assumption to try, but who must do this study? And why have we waited for so long? Because if you're a leader, at some point you're expected to be proactive and move. Who must do that? Because if we don't get a response on this one, you will go back, nothing will happen. So who must do that study on the MISPA? But also, as we're discussing, no one spoke to us about the capacity of the water boards. I know we've spoken about the capacity of right of the municipalities, which is not there. And then can somebody at least give us a picture of what is happening in terms of the capacity of the water boards? Because we can't address the municipality if there's also another challenge of capacity with the water boards. So we have to do them both, but the capacity of the water boards. And then, is all right. So which means in your proposal for a study, we have to know who, but we must then do say the same with the water boards. And also in the same analysis, I think it will also be good if we can also include, it also came from your input, say, if we can also include the analysis of our cost structures, same, you know, so that we can then move from an informed position and come up with sustainable solutions. The Honorable Minister says departments owing municipalities must pay, and the National Treasury has responded to that there is something that National Treasury is doing. So we will appreciate maybe to get a progress report, even if it's not today. But as National Treasury comes to us, if we can get a progress report on this, whether there is now a movement here or not. All right. There's a gentleman who spoke about a dire need to for special injection to resuscitate. He refers to the top 10 municipalities. But I then said to myself, I'm not sure exactly what is the top 10 here. Normally top 10 are the best performing, you know. I'm honest, and then the rest it means, you know. So if you can just elaborate on it. But you said we need to inject these municipalities, give budget injection so that they can be resuscitated. Now the other side of the coin is, it's something else to inject, but if there is no capacity, that injection is going to disappear, sir. So you must then talk about both. What do we do? Inject in an incapacitated municipality, and the results, we don't get value for money. So I think when we talk about that, I think that will assist. And SALGA again, I know SALGA is very strong on the increase of the 9% equity to municipalities. Increase, the report now is that there's a lot of money that was surrendered back to National Treasury. Yeah? Now, increase versus money that is still being surrendered with a 9% allocation is the capacity. If National Treasury increase that, will the municipalities be able to absorb and use that money effectively and efficiently, so that there is at the end of the at the end we have a service delivered. With the 9%, we still don't have anything. So if we increase, still there are a lot of problems in municipalities. We all know that, but our focus should be on finding a turnaround and finding the best solution, so that at the end our people can enjoy the benefits of service delivery. Okay. I think we will then hand over to, you will respond to those issues that affect you. Yeah, you really did well to look at me. This committee is the interministerial task team. It's something else to have your five priority list. You call it the 5-point plan. I think the interest, our interest as appropriations would be a business plan with timelines. Business plan with timelines. I think that's exactly what we would need, and use that instrument to measure performance. When we ask for these things, it's because we want to use that information, you know, to augment our work. And indeed, also, we make an impact. We don't just expect you to make an impact, we must also make an impact. So over to the team. All right, maybe I should then guide this. Department, Do you have any response to the issues raised? Thank you, Chair. I would like to respond to the issue of Bushbuck Ridge and Buchelo to give status that Bushbuck Ridge and Buchelo were disestablished in 2014 and their assets and their liabilities were transferred to both Randwater and Sibuyen respectively. Thank you. Next. Chairperson, thank you. I think on the root causes question, I touched on it on my previous reply, but it's really largely you can sum it up to issues relating to aging infrastructure, which results in high water losses, as well as these illegal collections that result in losses. You have cases of the operating expenditure that is higher than the revenue that is being collected. So it's all that cost of supply issues that are linked to that. You have the lack of collection of revenue when you have actually supplied and sold water. And then you have the governance challenges that you are currently experiencing, as well as the issue of capacity. So that pretty much sums up the root causes of the problems that are leading to municipalities not having that cash flow that allows them to be able to service their debt. And just to assure the committee that although there is the work of the AIMTT, there's a lot of work that is currently in progress. So the B2B program, which is looking at service delivery, governance, financial management, as well as everything. So that program is still very much active, and now it's really getting very, very vigorous leadership with the minister's drive, and a lot of capacity is being put to this. That is why I was giving an example of where that we realize that the skills and the technical side are a big issue. The minister has gone and employed and deployed those technical skills into those municipalities to make sure that that is corrected. So there is a lot of work in terms of the skills. There's a lot of work that is happening in supporting municipalities in all these areas. Treasury and COCTAS are working jointly on issues of revenue. We're implementing revenue plans and which are looking at those billing systems, those people that are getting double bills as it was raised, etc. So there's a lot of work that we're doing. So the MTT is really just reinforcing, strengthening this work, and more importantly, driving that collaborative work that will allow us to have more impact, because now we are driven centrally and we are able to then cover more ground. But work has not stopped whilst we're doing this. And yes, Chairperson, we are tasked with developing a proper plan in terms of implementation plans that will have those timelines, and those will also be made available once they have been taken through the process. That's what, at least at a high level, the IMDT would like to take to the next Joint Cabinet Committee meeting. I would just to touch on the capacity study. So whereas there probably is not, there's no comprehensive one that covered all municipalities, but that exercise of deploying those technical skills at municipalities was informed by a study that looked at the gaps. So if you look at who's been deployed where, there's not just a repetition. So some people only got a planner because that's what they lacked, and others got an engineer, and there's a lot of shared services where you'd have a chief engineer looking after the lower level engineers that are placed in other municipalities and all that. So that was informed by a capacity study. So in capacity building, there's a lot of work that is also being done, including obviously all the legislation or in terms of regulations that have been put in terms of the levels of competence that you need to have before you get employed at municipalities, and those are really checked, and there's omissions, concurrences, especially on the higher level posts, etc. So there's work in progress. We
there's a lot of work to cover, but we are not stopping just because of this process. We're carrying on. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, thanks. There was Chair, there's just one question posed to us, and we have noted the comment you made on progress on government debt for the next session, so we will provide that information. Just on the bad debt, and at what time, what is the appropriate time to write off this debt? Now, there's two issues to bear in mind here. During or at the time that the municipality is compiling their budget, there is a component that we refer to as revenue foregone. And that component is primarily responsible for covering the indigence of that municipality. And that money is then subsidized by the equitable share. So the municipality will not or has no intention of collecting that money. So it's revenue foregone. The second one is during the year, you would find that debt has, by a certain account holder, has gone to a stage where they can't find that account holder, or the account holder has passed on, or for whatever reason. So there's a period that the municipality looks at, and council then decides to write off that debt. Now, from National Treasury, you've got to be mindful of looking at the case by case. When you're making this judgment of writing off the debt, because we don't advocate that debt should be written off that easily, because it sets a precedent and then it creates a problem where account holders will wait for an opportunity, no matter how long it is, for the debt to be written off. But you need to look at it in perspective and in context, and where debt, where the person has passed on or is untraceable, then the possibility is that debt can be written off. So it's up to the council that makes that decision. I think that's the only question I had posed to us. Thanks.
Yes, thanks. A couple of issues, three of them in particular. This concept of ring fencing has a lot of dependencies, right? And the unfortunate part of it is that the grants that we're actually targeting are actually ring fenced already, because those grants are put together for a particular purpose, and they've got conditions to them. And essentially, the majority of the money that has been surrendered are actually grant funding, and not anything else, Chair. So we'll probably need to think deeply about the ring fencing of the grant, because in my own opinion, it's there already. We're going to have to look how creative are we going to be in terms of influencing how these grants actually look configured going forward. Hence, we're saying that we are part of that engagement with Treasury to look at creative ways to use those grants effectively. So that's on the CAPEX side. If one looks at the OPEX side, ring fencing in the OPEX side depends on the institutional arrangements. So if you look at an entity such as Joburg Water, that's a ring fence entity, and it just deals with water, and you could tell whether it's making money or not, and they actually have, they report to a city of Joburg as the shareholder. Similarly with a concession in Mpumalanga, Sululumanzi SEMCOP. I mean, it's a ring-fenced entity. It's a concessionaire of the municipality that is ring-fenced. But once you go to a municipality such as Ugu in the southern KwaZulu-Natal, they do both WSA and WSP. and it becomes difficult to kind of, you know, ring-fence the books there. And hence I'm saying that it's got a dependency on that. But it's something that we would consider, Chair, and do further investigation. The second part, Chair, that I would like to respond to is who should initiate these the studies that we spoke about. So the emphasis essentially we are proposing that should not be on the capacity, because the capacity is just the one component. The emphasis should be on the delivery mechanism. Right. What is the vehicle geographically, if one looks at the country, what is the appropriate vehicle to be able to deliver sustainable service? Because currently it's a fragmented approach, right? So the one municipality will say, sorry, I don't want the water board to come and help me, and vice versa, right? To the extent that it does create difficulties in some respects for municipalities to operate some of this large infrastructure. I mean, let's be realistic and talk the truth. So we're looking at it from that perspective, and we will jointly work with the department to look at a way of I don't know what's the right English word, but looking at a way of how we would want to turn around the delivery mechanism of how we do the water business in the country. It's something, in actual fact, that Minister, the meeting that is pending between yourselves and SELGA, we will sharply raise that issue to yourself, and we anticipate that we will work jointly with yourselves. The last part was on the grants. We've made a substantive submission to the budget forum in terms of, you know, how we see this process unfolding, and we could essentially, you know, make it available to the portfolio without necessarily going into the details. Thank you.
Okay. I know there's one question that has been avoided for the second time. The cost, probable cost. For now, we'll talk about the probable cost because, you know, it comes as, we think this is the cost, until we lay our finger on the real cost so that we can turn this thing around. I see Honorable Member Imam, and thereafter I'm handing over to my co-chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like the department to tell me when are they going to give me the report that I've been asking for the last 3 years. That's the first thing. And the second thing which I omitted to mention, Chair, is, and maybe the department can answer that, or the local government particularly, is my understanding is this, that traditional areas under traditional leaders, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal and things, they don't pay for these services whatsoever. So that's creating a serious challenge in the municipalities as well. I'd like them to tell us whether that is true or whether they are receiving those, whether they are paying for those services. Because if not, the matter needs to be dealt with as well. Thank you.
Are we done? Are you able, in a period of 5 minutes, what are the causes? We have such a huge debt, 13 billion rand. If we can just confine ourselves to one specific situation in Machabeng. That's where the biggest of all debts are, 2.4 billion rand. The worst part of it all is that they are not even in the list of those that are currently paying, unlike other municipalities. What should be the cause? And then, of course, the point raised by Comrade Sheikh Imam about the past 3 year report requests that he has been making. What are those reports about again?
Chair, it is about, we went on an oversight visit to the Eastern Cape, Mount Aleph particularly, and where we found corruption alive. You know, you get it alive these days, so there we found it alive. and we asked them to pull, and then we found, when we continuously interrogated it, from a 300,000 rand contract, they saved 166,000. We were not impressed. We wanted them to give us all the supporting documents, when the budget was done, who got the job, when did they pay, how did they budget 300,000 and save 166,000, a whole lot. And nothing has come to date.
Do you know about such a report? Expected? Obviously, in your department, Minister, there should be some officials who should be in the know. Now that Comrade Sheikh is talking about a three-year report that he's been requesting, perhaps if you can get that report next week. Is it copped or water?
Water and sanitation, Chair. And the department must know, they were there at the last meeting, in all the meetings, and they continuously promised to bring it, and then they run away from it.
Minister?
Mount Elif could also be a local or a district. The district is headquartered there. Was that the district or the local municipality there? Follow up, Chair.
Chair, we requested it from the department, when the national department. And they were supposed, in fact, for the last 3 years this has been going on. In the limited times that they have come and visited us, this matter was tabled on every single occasion. When we went to visit them, we dealt with the matter, we found the challenges, we expressed our concerns, and so every time they came, we asked them to provide us. Then on one occasion, they brought, that's when they showed us that they saved 166 out of this 300,000 suddenly, because we queried it. So we wanted them to give us more supporting documents on that entire project, because we want to, honestly, Chair, what we felt is that the cost of doing that job was 69 rand. Free water was there, free sand there, they only needed some cement. And they did that job from 2 o'clock in the morning, because we from national government were going there. And they've never been there from 2009 until we went there. They have never done anything there. And yet they budgeted, they paid for it, they did everything. And so we said, give us all that. Minister is not aware of it, but the department is fully aware, because when we've been dealing with them, they promised to bring it to us repeatedly, and they have not done that.
I guess what shall assist you, Minister, is that the committee secretariat from appropriation shall have to retrieve that report and be forwarded to your good selves. If you can get that feedback next week on Wednesday, it shall be addressed to both the Committee on Water and Sanitation and also appropriation. So the committee secretariat, I would imagine, they certainly do have such a report. Okay, they are listening.
The Chair, I hope I won't be saying a foolish thing here. You have been saying to me, and the Honourable Member is saying exactly the same thing, that we've been asking the department for the last 3 years. Nothing has come. Now, I'm asking the Honourable Member, just for me to be able to follow up whether or not the department is able to help me so that I can account. That's all I'm asking. Was it the district, because it's headquarters there of the district is Mount Elif, or was it the local municipality? I want to follow it up so that if I'm not getting any joy here as a person who must account, I must know exactly where to go and even investigate. Thank you, Chair.
Why don't we follow the following, or do the following? Let's get that report from the committee secretariat, upon which we take the matter from. I take it that shall assist you equally, Comrade.
Indeed, thank you, Chair. Yeah.
Okay, so we shall then be getting the report of the oversight work from the committee secretariat, and the chair having to refer that report directly to yourself. Thanks for that. Any further comments on the earlier point on the causes? I saw your hand, Mr. Gogo.
Chair, from we have based on this invitation, we went a little bit deeper into the analysis of the root cause of the death of Machabe. So I would humbly plead that let me not give a thumbsack thing, but from the face value, the critical cause of the death is more political rather than being affordable. But let me prepare the report first, which I'll take up with the minister, and maybe through the department, the minister will see as to how to present it to the portfolio. I don't want to blow the things out of proportion for now.
Insofar as the Machabeng is concerned, we are not able to get that cause. Can we get other examples on the causes of such a ballooning debt? Madam?
Chair. Oh, except for Machabeng.
Have you changed your thing? Madam?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think with regard to Blue Motor, it's more of not prioritizing water as a service. One gets the impression that the municipality has settled in thinking that water should be free. And we can substantiate this statement because if you look at, for example, if you look at Kopano, where the debt started to where it is now. First, it was a combination of a municipality that is servicing very poor communities, that's number one, and secondly, a municipality that was not prioritizing water. Now, with regard to Mangaung, it's simply not prioritizing water, that's all. Because there is absolutely no reason they can afford it, why they have accumulated debt to where it is. So this is the analysis that we had as Blue Motor to say, truly speaking, looking at these two municipalities, yes, Kopanong is servicing very poor communities, but at the same time, there was no prioritization of this service. But with regard to Metro, Mangaung Metro, it was simple ignoring the payment of this service. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair, and the Co-Chair and the Honourable Minister. With regard to our situation in Lebel as one of the highly owed water bodies, you have got the municipality which is Mopani, which it too, just like the experience in Bloom, its priorities are dear Megar in relation to the bulk sales and services. They are able to prioritize other services than the water services that they are receiving from Lebelle. I know Honorable Member Basson said it's not a solution to cut water, but in most instances when we give them a notice to reduce, that's only when you'll see some reaction in terms of payment. But we do appreciate that if two institutions of state are fighting, particularly in relation to the payment of the debt, it is the people down there who are feeling the pinch. Hence our appreciation of this interministerial task team to get us to a solution. And thanks very much.
Dr. Mokhosa, I thought you would go further in saying in Kopanong, the option of taking over the function has yielded such results, or is yielding such results. This is one other option that you exercise as water boards.
No, Chair, it's one of the options that we are requesting a minister to discuss with the Minister of COCTA. It has not been resolved yet.
And I think this is now resulting into the business around those areas saying they would like to be services by to be serviced by the board, not by the municipalities anymore. So it is all it is now in front of court, where the communities have gone to court to say they no longer trust the municipality. So that arrived yesterday. The intention of the business community to take this matter to court. We are still awaiting the response between our department and COGTAT, because we are simply saying, let us take over the services temporarily until the municipality has got its act together. Then maybe after 2 to 3 years, then we can take it back to them. I think that is the only solution for now, because truly speaking, Kopanong is unable for now. Thank you, Chair.
I had thought you'd also explain as to what is meant by taking over and the implications thereof.
Chair, I think the implication is what is problematic here, because it will mean that Blue Motor will have to collect directly from the communities. That's number one. So this is something that I think the municipality is not ready. We have even proposed at provincial level to say that's the only solution, and the province is agreeing with us to say, for now, seeing that the under collection is getting worse and worse each day, there is absolutely no way that the Kopanong is unable to pay even current account, let alone the arrears, which we are not talking about now. Even 50% of current account is unable to pay. So there is absolutely no way that they are going to survive except to keep on hurting the communities by restricting to that 30% that we are currently at, because this is the situation now in Kopanong. We are only servicing Kopanong 30% that is demanded by the Constitution. And yes, that's the situation for now. The implication is that they are no longer going to collect, but the communities will get the water 100%.
And it goes on and on and on like that. In other words, the experiences that you have by the respective water boards. It's a matter that really requires in-depth discussion. Of importance always must be about how best can you make that municipality take full responsibility in paying for a service that they receive that is rendered in, to. That's the essence of what we want to really deal with, more than all these other stories that we get. There are these difficulties and so on and so forth. For as long as we don't get to the depth of the issue, we are not going to go anywhere. And the depth here should really talk to making the municipalities accountable. Once again, COGTA comes into picture. Clearly, COGTA continues not to take a keen interest in these matters, which is something that is quite serious. We really need to see as to how best we deal with this situation. At the end of the day, these are municipalities that report to COGTA, and COGTA has to take full responsibility. Ministers on record, once again, even here, where the Water and Sanitation Department spends, COGTA does not spend in those areas. Granted, it's a grant that is conditional, but there must be a plan. And the point is raised here that says together, the two departments must come together and be able to say, yeah, we have a challenge. The municipalities are not capacitated, they are not paying. What is the solution? So that we avoid any surrendering of any monies back to National Revenue Fund. Mr. Basson, we almost round up.
Yeah,
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a question on Kopanong. I've been in Jagersfontein. I discussed it with the minister concerning the problems in the area, and the mine that was willing to pay 5 million rand to you directly, but they were not willing to pay that money into the municipality's account. My question is, if you have to take over the services immediately, that will mean reticulation of these breakages, you will have to deal with it, and the account system. Are you geared to deal with that if you then take it over?
Thank you very much, Chair. Not immediately. There are certain...
Thank you, Dr. Mukhorose. You can speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was saying some, like, for example, billing system, not immediately. But with regard to reticulation, yes, we can. But then both, they go together. It will need us to sit down with the municipality, probably with SALGA as a monitor. But that can take, we were actually planning around it to say that can take plus minus 3 to 4 months to get every system in place. But as I say, it's not a unilateral decision.
The point raised by Mr. Basson talks to an earlier discussion we had. Not now today, but back in the days, wherein the department seriously has to engage a comrade minister about the function of water within municipalities and the role that the water boards can play, perhaps in some instances where capacity does not exist. There is that discussion that has to be taken. It's a matter that in our committee we have been raising at some point, clearly with a view of having to address capacity where it does not exist. Because you want to get the municipalities to be able to be self-sustaining at the end. Yes, the revenue which municipalities work on or plan on water in this instance, that talks to any future, whether it's CAPEX programs and those, whether those revenues also go to those CAPEX or they go to OPEX, it's another issue that you experience in some of these municipalities. So that's work in progress, sir. You are insisting? Okay.
Chairperson, I think the minister needs to look at your municipalities got water use licenses. And that's been granted by your department, minister, not by COCTA. So the principle of use it or lose it. If you cannot deliver the service, you cannot pay for the service, you should lose the right to have a water license, take it back and give it to someone that could give that services to the people. We are here to make sure that the people on the ground, they receive the services. If there's a stumbling block in between a water board that produces drinking water and the people on the ground, we need to take out that stumbling block because they've got a license, and if they don't adhere to the license, just take it away. It also, the same problem we have with wastewater treatment plants. People are pumping water into our rivers that's not being treated. And it's the same. If they cannot use the license that was given to them with conditions, take it away, give it to someone to run it on behalf. I know you need to discuss with COCTA, but eventually, Minister, if you issue the license, you can withdraw the license. And if we don't take that stance, we will have this discussion year after year after year going nowhere. So please, Minister, investigate. What is the right to withdraw a water license from someone that don't have the capacity or the technical skills or the funding to distribute water to people and take it away. Let's help the people on the ground. Let's not make it more difficult for them to live without water.
Okay, it's food for thought. I saw a hand from Saga.
Thanks, Chairperson. Earlier, I wanted to just add that there is an opportunity at the moment that the committee could consider. COGTA, the reason they're not here, they're busy with a legislative matter, and that legislative matter deals with amendment of the Structures Act, in which this discussion would be very relevant. So perhaps if the two committees could enjoin this conversation, it would assist us a lot. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, spokesperson from COGTA. Oh, yes. You wanted to say something, Ms. Ngata?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. What we wanted to highlight is our debt as Amatola Water, which is owned by Amatola District Municipality. I think we're experiencing the similar problems as Bloom Water, because the municipality doesn't seem to be prioritizing water. And besides, now the communities are approaching Amatola Water directly, and they are already threatening to take Amatola Water to court, and they don't appreciate the fact that we supply Amatola District Municipality, and it's Amatola District Municipality that distribute to them. So we're sitting with a predicament, Honorable Chairperson, and as an institution, as Amatola Water, we are really struggling financially as a result of this non-payment of the debt by the municipality. We appreciate the issues that are raised, that we shouldn't, as state organs, we shouldn't be, there shouldn't be tensions between state organs, but we've got a challenge from a fiduciary duty point of view as the board, and also from a service delivery point of view in terms of the constitution. We are crippled by this municipality, and a solution needs to come as soon as possible before the entities go under. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, that should be it for now. Having listened to the department, both the COGTA, National Treasury, SALGA, and also Department of Water and Sanitation on a subject matter. Once again, the interministerial task team is working on, and not only are you dealing with water there, you are also dealing with other relevant areas related to ESCOM, among others. You have just set up your own panel in that an IMTT that deals specifically with all the recommendations related to water and how best can that be looked into. Clearly, it's work in progress on your part as IMTT, working together with all the other role players or stakeholders, whether in the form of your water boards. I hear Citibank and also Renwater have since been brought on board in that IMTT structure. The aim, again, it is about resolving a problem of debt. A number of suggestions have even come from this meeting. Others, they're quite wide-ranging to a point where you even have to think about selling off your debt book. This is one of the suggestions that came at some point. I hear that that suggestion has not been sustained. It seemingly is not receiving much attention. There are a number of other suggestions. The water boards having to take over the function within municipalities, especially that do not have the necessary or the requisite capacity. Now these are all the issues that are coming to bear for all those that are participating in that IMTT to seriously take into account. We've also just listened to other suggestions that have since been coming up, especially following up on the matter raised by Dr. Mokhorosi. Members, I think, as I said, this is work in progress. This is a matter that we need to periodically look into. At the end of the day, we need to be able to say comfortably the municipalities do have capacity both to receive water and also to pay for what they receive to the respective water boards in the department in the form of your TCTA. I think as we speak now, we should hold it on there. And then, as I said, periodically we come together probably on a quarterly basis and see how far we go on the matter. The co-chairperson might wish to say something. She is done. We have an invitation for Monday at UCT, University of Cape Town, to attend. It's 19th of November. It is said to be a World Toilet Day. Water Research Commission has invited members of Parliament to attend that. The letter is going to be circulated with more information. We shall have to come back to members about the program for next week on Wednesday, which is our usual date of our meetings. For now, the meetings are adjourned. Thank you for all the attention.